I've got the magic in me. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Matt and Ty Go to the Movies with special guests Tim Davis and Marie. This is the podcast where all four of us went and saw a movie at our local Regal Cinema Theater, and now we're going to talk about it. After the movie, in the parking structure, in Matt's Honda Pilot, we're going to talk about such things as should you see this movie, should you not see this movie, should you bring a date, should you bring kids, should you go alone, should you snack, should you nap, you know, craft, whatever. Should you engage in conversation, but probably not, because you know that's going to piss me off. I am Todd Domer.
And I'm Matt Malloy, and yes, we saw a movie tonight. This movie is called The American Society of Magical Negroes. That's what it's called. It was very awkward to buy the tickets.
But yes.
But we made it through, and we watched the movie, and there's people in it. And Tim, who are those people?
The main, I would say, household names are, the lead is Justice Smith. He's been in a few franchises the last couple of years. He was in the last two Jurassic World movies. He was the lead in Detective Pikachu. And he was also in the Dungeons and Dragons movie. And then we had David Alan Greer as the kind of the one of the main guys of the society. He is most famous for his years on the In Living Color sketch comedy show, but he was also in the original Jumanji, and he's just been around a while.
And Blank Man.
And Blank Man, yes, which is his starring vehicle.
Can't forget Blank Man.
Back in the 90s. And, that's it, I'd say, for household names.
Okay. And we just saw him he was the announcer
Oscars
at the Academy Awards. So what's this movie about? Well, the concept of the movie is that there's this group of black people who have magic powers and believe it is their role in the world to help white people feel less
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yes.
That was the word.
Right. It's like a silly premise, but of course there's like underlying themes and so on and so forth. How does this play out in the movie? Well, we got our main character whose name is
Aaron,
yes. played by Justice Smith, and he really has a lot of mannerisms of his father Will Smith that I noticed throughout this movie. So Aaron, our main character, gets recruited into the society, and basically the way it works is when you're in the society, you get assigned to cases of white people who are in crisis and feeling very uncomfortable. And
he is not Will Smith's kid.
He's not?
He's not.
I was thinking about it when you said it. I don't think he is.
Well,
Jaden Smith is.
Yeah, he does have a kid who's older than the other two kids that are the more famous ones from a previous marriage, but it is not Justice.
He's unrelated.
That's amazing to me. Well, I'm sorry. I apologize to him.
Bring that up and not have that on the record.
I owe him $5.
Only if he comes on the podcast to collect.
Well, if he calls me, I'll Venmo him $5.
Ugh, not good enough for me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he does have mannerisms that reminded me of Will Smith, despite not being related. So anyway, this character, Aaron, gets assigned to this white dude at a Facebook-like knockoff company.
Meatbox.
Yeah, it's called Meatbox.
And I love the way they... Yeah. Cleverly did the name, how its name was also stupid.
and so he gets assigned to this case or whatever, so he befriends this guy and like tries to prop him up, and then there's a woman at the workplace, and her name's Lily? Is that right?
Lizzie. Yeah.
Almost had it. All right, so Lizzie's there, and Lizzie works there and is, a co-worker of both of them, because he gets assigned, Aaron gets assigned to this person, but he's also has a job at Meatbox. So they all three work there, and Aaron starts to develop feelings for Lizzie, and but at the same time, this guy that he's assigned to starts to develop his own feelings, so by the rules of the Society of Magical Negroes, he has to subvert his own desires and help his client with his pursuit of his love interest. So anyway, so all of that can go wrong when someone in the society does not follow the rules. They all can lose their magical powers. And so we track through the movie and choices are made, and Aaron decides that he's not going to abide by the tenets of the magical society anymore, and chaos and mayhem follow inside of the society, and he delivers a
quite a monologue
expressing how he feels as a black person in America, which I thought was quite powerful, actually. And so that's what the movie's about. He gets kicked out of the society and ends up pursuing his love for Lizzie, and they walk off into the sunset together. So that's what it's about. Todd,
are we abandoning the fact that we're spoilers free?
Yeah, you pretty much.
Well,
spoiled the entire movie right there.
I
no drama.
I guess I did.
Yes, you really did.
Fair enough. Well, so I would say that the things I liked about this movie are kind of like the serious messages that are buried in there. And then, of course, you mentioned the monologue. I thought that was a good monologue. I thought he delivered for the monologue, even though I kind of felt the rest of the performance was just, like, awkward at times. I know he's playing an awkward person, but, like,
that's the roles he tends to play.
Right, that's him in every movie at this point. And
he's good at it, I think.
I also just thought, and I could be completely on my own, but there were times when this movie was dragging to me. Like, I just was like, we're kind of in it, but I also, like, am losing focus. And I thought it's a very interesting... Was this off a book or something? Did it, anyone know?
Not that I can find online.
But look, okay. It said that the director wrote it.
And okay, it was all right. His, and he got funding from Sundance.
Ah, gotcha. I thought it's a very, very...
great concept.
Yeah, the concept was great. I just really felt like at times the movie couldn't keep up with what it was trying to do. In a sense of, like, I just really thought there were scenes that really dragged. There's a couple of walking scenes that just kind of kept going on, and even when people weren't talking anymore, just a lot of walking. And I thought... to me, that equaled a little bit of, like, you know, dead movie time that probably could have been shaped up a little bit more. The rest of the acting is fine. Like, I think besides the monologue that Justice does, I think that's the top tier acting of the movie. The rest of it was fine and serviceable, but no one's gonna, like, at least I don't think, no one's gonna be taking home any acting awards from this movie. So, this is a hard one for me to answer, whether or not you should see it or not. I do think you should see it. Like, the serious messages in the movie are worth the watch, for sure. Do I think this is a movie theater movie that I'm like, you have to see it in theaters? I would suggest you do it so that this movie can make money and then we can get more movies like this. But if you're a busy person, you don't have the time, I don't know if I'd say absolutely 100% make time for this movie, but that's a hard one. I'm going to have a really hard time with my rating tonight. I'm just sending the warning out there, just in case anyone's curious.
Warning sent.
Thank you.
Got it. Received.
Yeah, so that's me. I mean, I could probably ramble on for another, like, 10 minutes and not make any sense. So, Tim?
Yeah, I came into this, I think the trailers made it seem like it was going to be more of a overt comedy, and I think it was much more satire, and like you said, the deeper themes shine through. They had a lot to say about how black people live in America, like, you know, just trying to survive, and their job, and the characters in the society, their job is to make white people feel good about themselves at the extent of their own lives. And I thought there was a lot of messaging there, obviously, and you know, that's what, and Justice Smith's character goes through this arc that is earned, I'd say, and I feel like, you know, his awkwardness plays into when he has his almost explosion in the monologue, like, that was built, the whole movie was building to that, and I thought they got there, and it was really earned, and that was the crux of the movie, clearly, it was built around. But I thought the satire elements were really sharp and funny. Not like laugh out loud funny, not like, you know, like you're guffawing, but it's more like, you know, ooh, that's a good point, or ooh, that's a clever line. Like, you know, but and as white people, I think this movie's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable as well.
Yeah.
And I thought I did a good job doing that too, in a way where you're entertained by it, but you're also like, ooh, yeah, that's all on the nose. And I really thought this movie worked because he was really good in it. And if you're expecting David Alan Greer to be over the top in this, he's not really. He's kind of subtle, and he's kind of, you know, he's guiding the plot along, but he's also not overdoing it. Because I think this movie was meant to let Justice's character go through his arc, and that really helped. And I thought that was strong. As far as this, like you said, Todd, some scenes were slow or deliberately, like, you know, just walking and talking. I think this movie really wanted to have character moments. And, you know, there were some directing choices, like sometimes the characters would be walking and they wouldn't even be in the center of the shot. But you just keep hearing the dialogue at the same level. And I thought he was making interesting choices that I thought made it a little unique and more character driven. So it worked for me. I really like this movie. Like, I'm with you in that it's not you have to go out and see it for the theater experience of the movie, but like you said, supporting movies like this is good because they kind of fall under the radar.
Yeah.
I do think this is worth seeing. It's a good movie. I really enjoyed myself.
Fair enough.
Well, I want to preface this by saying this is not the movie I thought we were going to see.
So, what movie did you think?
I don't even know the title of it, but it was definitely a different movie.
Okay.
And I looked up the an article about the magical Negro trope that this movie is trying to explain, which is something that I learned tonight. And so it was actually coined by Spike Lee in 2002, referring to the black side characters who solely exist to help white characters with their problems.
Yeah.
And then it has historical roots, the 15th and 16th century theater and literature about African characters or characters of African descent being solely for the white protagonist. So it's interesting because we've been seeing that our whole lives, but it's never been called out to us. This article, you know, said it was first seen in cinema like Song of the South.
Oh, sure.
And then more recently, like The Green Mile and Ghost.
I was going to say the movie that I immediately thought of, I don't get you guys remember this one, The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Definitely
that screamed to me. Yeah,
right.
That scene is like scene for scene.
I know, that was like, movie, and that's clearly the one they were trying to focus on.
Right, and they were trying, you know, and they have the black best friend or whatever, you know, to bring diversity, black people color into the movies.
But they're not the star, yeah. Right.
But it, you know, it still supports stereotypes, racial stereotypes, and power dynamics. And so when I was watching the movie, I thought, you know, there's some real messages here. They're trying really hard to show us, but I couldn't, knowing we were going to talk, so I went and looked it up real quick. And this is the thing that it was supposed to be the main theme of the movie. And while I think it did what it was supposed to do and made us white folks uncomfortable, which I appreciate, I thought that there was generally no energy to the movie. And there were no really interesting characters to me. I felt like the ideas and the concepts and the message that they were trying to portray, which they did for the most part, was really interesting. But I didn't see a lot of depth to the characters. There's one monologue, and that's great for that character's arc. But, you know, a review that I read of this movie said, well, the main character stopped supporting the white men so he could go off with the light-skinned woman. So he just traded one for the other, which I thought was an interesting comment as well. I hesitate to say I did not like this movie because I don't want it to be about the racial stuff, because I think those messages were fantastic, and I would have loved to have seen a movie that really explored that into a deeper place and a little bit more creativity and with a better script. It all just felt kind of flat to me.
I think you said it perfectly with energy. Yeah. Like, as soon as you said that, I was like, yep.
No character had any energy. Everybody was very flat to me.
Yeah.
And I spent the whole movie going, am I not liking this movie because I'm not understanding the messages, or I don't like the messages? I think I saw the messages. I appreciate the messages, and I want to see more things that speak to race and power and men and women and color and diversity and how we interact and how we can level the playing field so that everybody is safe and has opportunity. But I feel this movie is to put it positively, this is a good start. But I didn't enjoy the script or the characters very much.
Matt?
Okay. Well, you guys have said good things, and I agree with most of it. And I will say that I thought that the best parts of this movie were where they took a sharp stick and tried to poke with satire and over the topness at the ridiculousness of the way that black people have to live in America, of the way that social media companies operate, yes, of the way that white people don't see people of color very well. And I thought that was the best part of, as you said, Maria, low energy movie.
And I absolutely agree with you. Like, the messages were
strong
mm-hmm. and relevant and necessary, and they were there.
And this is the first time that I've heard some of these messages in a cinematic setting. Mm-hmm. You know, they went hard after certain things, and I thought it was very good in what they said. The rest of the movie, outside of those highlights, was very paint by numbers to me, which is why I didn't really even realize that I was giving away the entire plot of the movie when I was giving a summary, because I was like, it was so obvious. I'm not really giving anything away. And then I gave everything away. So I apologize for doing that. But it's not really a real subtle story arc. So, you know, should you see this movie? I think it's worth your time. There's something to be said for supporting it financially and giving, you know, light to the messages, as a couple of you have said. And, you know, I don't know outside of that if you need to see it in the theater. I think you can get the kind of the high points of it. I think in general I feel like it's an average movie with some above average points and some real, you know, low energy, low lights to it. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave it. And
yeah, I mean, like, the other main point of this movie is supposed to be a love story. And it doesn't ever feel like, to me, it takes off. Like, and that's because you get maybe, like, smaller good moments, and then you get one kind of longer, they go for a walk big moment, but then everything else is, like, done through montage.
Yeah.
And so, like, when they rush through all that, getting to know each other and, like, talking and stuff like that, I just was like, I'm having a hard time rooting for this quote-unquote love story, because I'm like, everything got rushed for the other more deeper themes of the movie, which I think was good for those messages to get out there, but bad for the movie itself. Like, yeah. It just made it really uneven to me.
I think this movie was very ambitious.
Yes,
I think that's and good. I think I have this problem. I take on more than I can handle and do well. And I think this movie took on too many themes and tried to do them all well, and some of them were not done well.
Hmm. Yeah, from what I read here, the director pitched this to Sundance. And, like, they have some kind of grant program. Yeah. And so the pitch won, and so he got funding in order to push it out, but it was all on him, right? Writing, producing, directing, and they were funding it. So I think you're right. He took on a great idea, a great concept. I think we all agree it was a great concept. And it was just, he wanted to do so much to get it through, and we don't know how much tinkering also might have
come along.
Sure,
we don't know how much control he ended up having, but like,
I think you're right, he might have overshot.
Yeah. The romance was irrelevant to the plot, really.
I thought they had chemistry. The actors.
No one had chemistry.
I thought the actors did. I thought that the relationship did. But maybe that was me.
What common interest do they have? Coffee?
Yeah, but that's how people start talking conversations.
We don't know anything else about
them. They were just forming it, is how I took it. And then they're going to go on with the rest of their lives knowing each other. It worked for me. I thought the chemistry was there. But it just, yeah. But I think, like you said, going back to your point of, like, and the ambition was there, and right. The problem was
they made it too complicated.
Yes,
it was too complicated. I think complicated they overthought of it. Maybe. A story. Yeah, it was too complicated of a story.
And he wanted to let some scenes breathe, which I always appreciate in movies. But I think some of the scenes he chose to breathe weren't the right scenes to breathe. When he could have hit some of the satire harder, or he could have, like you said, instead of that montage romance sequence, maybe we got some more of that dialogue to see them building their relationship. It's like some of the choices he made I thought were really good, but then some of the choices weren't so good. And I think that's, you know, I don't want to call him a first time filmmaker. It looks like he had a couple other things he'd done, but this was like his first big budget movie. So, you know, you learn as you go. And like you said, he had a good start and, you know, fumbled a little bit, but I still think it was a valiant effort.
It's a better movie than I could make.
I think they just shouldn't have had a love interest. Yeah, like, it felt like they needed to have a woman in this movie, and they were like, well, what have the woman do? Oh, well, she's got to be the love interest then.
Although I will say I really appreciated the final scene. I'm not going to spoil that, but I thought that was a
Would you like to spoil it?
The very clever ending. Yeah, I thought that was that really got me, I thought, at the end. I thought I really liked that.
All right, well, let's get down to business here.
But...
Oh, never mind. Let's go back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't that a commentary on power dynamics and relationships?
Yes.
Okay.
I just thought it was interesting.
Well, you all have to see it for yourself to understand what we're talking about.
I think that was meant to add into the satire at the end by having her...
Let that be a little tag for you guys to go see.
All right. So.
Anyway. So, let's give this movie some ratings. On a scale, 0 being the worst and 5 being the best, how many friend zones would you give this movie?
Ooh, yeah.
Which was such a cringeworthy scene.
Yes, it was.
But not meant because it was bad acting. No, it was every friend zone scene is super awkward. 0 being the worst in a surprising rating. You got no friend zones. And 5 being the best because then you have at least 5 friends. And, you know, you got to look on the bright side of life.
Plenty of awkwardness.
So.
Yes.
Matt?
Well, I'm going to give this 2.7 friend zones out of 5 because I have at least 2.7 friends. And, you know, like I said, I felt like this was an average movie. It was ambitious. It had some very pointed satire, which I thought was very good and the best part of the movie. And then, as Marie astutely pointed out, so low energy, so that drags it down. So I'm going to give it a little bit above average because I feel like they were trying and they did hit on some of the satirical things, and some of that was new information for a lot of people, I think, or new concepts that were being expressed. We haven't heard a lot before. So that's where I will go, 2.7.
Tim?
That is funny. That is the exact number that popped into my head as well, because I agree with you. It's better than the average, but it didn't quite reach the heights that it possibly could have. But I think that monologue alone earns a few points above average, because that monologue alone is just like this. I feel like the speech in Barbie, where you just, there's a scene where you can pull out of a movie and say, you can watch this without context, and it's really good. So yeah, I'm with you. 2.7.
Marie?
2.6.
Yep.
2.6.
We're all in the same little boat here.
Until now, I'm at a 1.9. I don't give out participation trophies.
Yeah, that's fair.
I understand you went for something, but it didn't hit. For me, at least.
Yep.
But hey, better luck next time. So, you know, maybe try not to take on so much person who's making movies. And you're going to listen to me on this podcast.
Yes.
But you're welcome to come on the podcast and defend yourself and call me stupid. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Matt and Todd Go to the Movies, where we review the movie The American Society of Magical Negroes. And we gave it an average rating of 2.475, which is slightly below average. And
round up to it, yeah.
I think that, in general, we think, yeah, you could probably see this movie and get some stuff out of it, but it's not really great. And thank you for listening. Please continue to do that. And I'll try not to spoil the movie next time we do a podcast. And we will see you next time.
Da-da-da-da.
Da-da.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.